Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and it is almost time. I am going to hit just a couple of stories here before we go to it, but I want you to get on the lines for 2A Tuesday with Toby Leary. Any of your questions about the Second Amendment, about a type of gun, a type of ammo, about Cape Gunworks, you can get on the line right now and ask him. It's 844-500-4242. We also have the text line available. That is 617-213-1066. Just remember to start the text with the word Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Just two quick stories that I would be so bummed out if I didn't tell you about today. Both from the New York Times. The old gray lady. The first one is about SBF. Formerly celebrated, but you know what? Not really formally. He's still in pretty good stead with everybody. He is still okay. They're not talking about him like they're talking about Elon Musk, who is actually the other subject of a New York Times hit piece. So
Elon, Stalin.
Here's the piece about SBF. If you're not familiar, he ran FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange. I don't know whatever it is. And he defrauded, allegedly, people out of billions of dollars. Well, this is what they wrote. In the Bahamas, a lingering sympathy for Sam Bankman-Fried. Apparently, a lot of people in the Bahamas feel bad for him. Here's a couple quotes from some locals. I think he has a good heart, a Nassau school administrator said. Another person said, here, this is Patrick Ferguson, a 61-year-old painter and longtime resident, said it just doesn't make any sense when he thought of the prison time that Bankman-Fried was being required to do at Fox Hill Prison. In some instances, residents' attitudes reflect simple empathy. I feel bad for him, said Philip Butler, an elder at the Christian Life Church in Nassau. But what I found really interesting about this report wasn't how bad everyone in the Bahamas felt for SBF, but was actually a little bit about the meals at Fox Hill. So we had heard that Fox Hill had like rodents and maggots, and it was a terrible place, and it was easier to get drugs on the inside than it was on the outside.
Well, you know what? We're going to kill rats.
And there was all this violence, and it was a really bad place to be. And then we heard that Sam Bankman-Fried, because he's a vegan, that his family was calling up and trying to get him some vegan meals. And we all kind of laughed about that, because it doesn't look like the place that's going to take in your dietary restrictions or, you know, suggestions. So a former inmate released this year said a typical breakfast was grits with sardines scooped into a moldy cup. For lunch, unseasoned ground meat, that's not going to work, with rice is common. Dinner is often not delivered at all, but for Sam Bankman-Fried, he got the royal treatment. He was given toast and jam for breakfast. For lunches and dinners, he had stewed greens and other vegetables. And he still couldn't cut it. He still had to get out. And one other story I wanted to tell you about from the New York Times, they had, because SBF is a good billionaire, you know, former billionaire, but he was altruistic. He cared about global warming. He cared about all of these causes that mean so much to the left. So they still have a lot of love in their heart for him. Elon Musk, on the other hand, bad billionaire. He wants free speech. He doesn't want to throw off former presidents off Twitter. He likes people to be able to share their opinion. Basically, Elon Stalin is what they're calling him. Now, this was from the New York Times. The title of this piece is, "She worked for Twitter, then she tweeted at Elon Musk." So what do you gather from that? You gather that someone disagreed with Elon Musk and that's why they got fired. But if you read down in the article, they do kind of cover their bases. It says about this woman, Miss Solomon. She said she is not sure whether those tweets caused her to lose her job or if she was just one of the roughly 3,700 Twitter employees who got the axe and layoffs. Well, it would seem like since you made a whole article about the fact that she worked for Twitter and then she tweeted at Elon Musk, you were trying to imply a little cause and effect here.
But every year until his death from a combination of tuberculosis and a tomahawk to the head.
It's really like you wanted us to believe one thing and now you're telling us that maybe this whole article doesn't actually make sense. Derek Hunter wrote, this line basically says, you know, the entire premise of this article, it might be complete BS. Well, yeah, that's the kind of ethics and standards that we get from the New York Times. All right, thank you all for indulging me in that. I just had to get those two stories off my desk. Now it is time for 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary. Toby, we've already got somebody on the lines. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go when you are, Grace, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas right back at you and to everybody at Cape Gunworks. Let's start with Mike. You're first up today with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Toby. How you doing?
Very good, Mike. How are you?
Great, great. Thanks for taking my call. So my question has to do with buying a firearm, be it a handgun or a long arm. My son... turning 21, you know, 4 years ago, able to buy marijuana in the store, able to go into the liquor store, makes the acquisition. Over time, he's bought marijuana in the store. So you know how they take your ID and all of that, and you're on record. I was wondering with respect to how long, so he's cleaned up his act, he's turning 25 in January. He doesn't smoke anymore. I was wondering, how long does he have to go before he, you know, when you ask the questions to make an acquisition, right. How long do you have to go before you can, you know, what's the truthful answers with respect to, you know, having bought marijuana in the store, which, you know, probably falls under something federal legal.
Yeah, so the question is, are you a unlawful user of marijuana? It's not, have you ever purchased? So I would say if he's not an unlawful user of marijuana anymore, then he could. And the funny thing is people misread that and think, oh, well, I'm a legal user of marijuana because I buy marijuana from the, you know, dispensary or whatever. But unfortunately, that is a federal question, not a state question. So you would be a prohibited person if you're actively using it. But if he used it in the past and he no longer does, then I would say there's no length of time period associated with that. As far as I know, they don't say as long as you stop by, you know, and don't do it again for 30 days, 90 days or 180 days. They don't give you that guideline. They just ask if you're an unlawful user of marijuana. And it sounds to me like he can truthfully say no at this point. And he'd pass the background check. So I wouldn't worry about it if it was in the past. It doesn't sound like he's an unlawful user at this point. So hopefully that helps, Mike, and congratulations on him, you know, becoming a gun owner, and hopefully he'll make a career out of that, you know, lifelong gun owner.
Thank you very much, Mike, for the call. 844-500-4242. Toby, I wanted to share this story with you, and you probably saw it. I know you browse a lot of the same conservative outlets that I do, but I saw this today on Breitbart, and something, a theme we talk about a lot, is how the guns are attacked from our media, from Democrats, and oftentimes the criminals, the people who are perpetrating these crimes, seem to be a forgotten piece of the puzzle. And not just that, but they're actually let out time and time again to do these crimes again, to recommit crimes. And there was a story today about a celebrity-backed bail reform group that was actually shut down. It's out of Las Vegas. And they bailed out a man who then went on to shoot a waiter 11 times. So 6 days after being released, Gaston Anderson shot restaurant worker Cheyenne Wang 11 times at the Shanghai Plaza Mall located in Las Vegas, Chinatown. Now, Gaston Anderson was sentenced earlier this month to 7 to 18 years in prison after reaching a plea deal to be convicted on charges of attempted robbery and mayhem, both with deadly weapon enhancements. Now, Wang survived his injuries, thank God. He suffered 7 gunshot wounds, including a punctured lung and stomach. And the reason I bring this up is because some of these celebrities that were supporting this bail project, in fact, were sitting on the advisory board, are Richard Branson, John Legend. And I thought of John Legend because these are celebrities who don't waste any opportunity, Toby, to attack lawful gun owners, to go after the Second Amendment. And yet they're sitting on the board of the bail project that is letting out criminals who are shooting people 11 times for just working at the mall. I mean, it's really, the irony here is mind-blowing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's rampant. Happens throughout our country, especially in a lot of the highly gun-controlled cities like Chicago and New York City and whatnot. And you'll see story after story of people who are out on bail. They're violent career criminals. They've committed heinous acts of mayhem and violence, and yet they're out walking the streets, and while they're out on bail, pending another trial even, they'll obtain a gun and use it. And that proves one thing, and that is gun control doesn't work. There's an article today on, I believe it's Bearing Arms, about the Rhode Island guy. It's a story we've been following that had amassed 200 guns, and he was a prohibited person. They have a permit to purchase in that state. They also have universal background checks, so there's no private party transfer in the state of Rhode Island. But yet this guy's still able to get 200 guns, because if violent felons want to get guns, or violent people or prohibited people want to get guns, they're going to get guns. And we even saw this happen in Paris the other day, where there was a active shooting event in Paris where guns are banned. And you can't even legally obtain these guns, but yet people have them and they're shooting Kurdish people, which has caused this massive riot in Paris over the holidays. And so the proof is in the pudding that gun control doesn't work. You can't legislate the evil out of somebody's heart or a criminally insane person, and all of a sudden, because you pass a law that's going to affect largely law-abiding people, that those lawless people will all of a sudden capitulate. It just doesn't work. It never has. It never will. But that's the narrative that they're going with. They're doubling down on it, and they're continually thinking they can control people's bad behavior by controlling the good people. It doesn't make any sense.
It absolutely doesn't. When we come back, I see you on the lines. I know people want to talk to Toby. I want to give him enough time to answer all of your questions. And so he has a little room to breathe here, and he can give you a nice long answer. So stay on the lines. If you're on there right now, just wait. We're going to get right back to your questions. If you're driving around and you want to hop on the line, it's 844-500-4242. Still a few lines open for people, so you still have time to call in. We will be right back with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Don't move. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's The Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and that means we have Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks on the line to answer all of your questions. Let's go to Harry. You're next up with Toby. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, Harry. Hey, Toby.
Hi.
Hey, I got a couple of technical questions for you. Okay. First technical question probably is easy. I got a long-range gun. I got a Savage 110 Precision 6.5. If you're shooting 100 or better, there's a parallax adjustment on the scope. On basically a 200-yard or 100-yard shot, you want that parallax adjustment so there's a short field of view or a wide field of view?
Well, you're talking about on the left side of the scope, there's a focus on the side, correct? Is there like a knob on the left side of the smoke?
There's three adjustments. There's a horizontal, a vertical, and there's a parallax adjustment.
Yeah, so generally, most of the newer scopes, even some of the older ones, they had the parallax adjustment either out on the bell of the scope, like the old Tascos, and then some of them have a knob on the side of the scope. And generally speaking, you just kind of match the number with the distance. So if it's got 100 on it and you're shooting 100 yards, that'll bring the target into sharp focus. But you can just, what I generally do is I look at the target at whatever distance I'm at while I adjust that parallax knob, and I get it until the target comes into sharp focus. So hopefully that helps. I'm not sure what kind of scope you have, but that's probably what's going on there.
Harry, did you have a second question?
One more thing. Yeah, one more thing. I've read on the 6.5, I got two choices. They said it's a large primer or a small primer. I don't know which one to use. They recommend a small, but somebody says you can do a large primer in there. I thought primers are one size.
They are, and it's dependent on what brass you have. And I didn't know they were loading those with small primers, to be honest with you. I doubt they are. I think the 6.5 Creedmoor only has large pistol, large rifle primers, as far as I know. But there could be a couple different types of brass. If there is, I'm not aware of it. I'm not much of a reloader myself, but I would say you're probably using large rifle primers. But there could be. I just don't know enough about it, to be honest with you.
All right. Thank you, Harry. We got about 1 minute left in this segment. If you want to get on the lines, it's 844-500-4242. But let's take one more call here before we go to the break. Dave, you are up next. What's your question, Dave?
Yeah. Hi, Toby. I'm an LTC licensee in Massachusetts. I'm moving from a gun-friendly town to a potentially unfriendly gun town. And so I've downloaded the form, and it seems very basic. Is there a potential for this police chief in the town that I'm moving to ask more questions than not, other than, my just giving him my address in the new town, or is there potential for trouble,
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Dave. And by the way, Harry, just one sec, Dave, I screwed up. Harry, it's small rifle primers, not large rifle primers. I apologize. But anyway, Dave, the LTC in Mass now has been fixed a little bit. So if this new chief is asking you all kinds of questions and putting on all kinds of requirements, you'll certainly have a lawsuit on your hands or at your disposal if you wish to go that route. So I don't anticipate you'll have any trouble if you're going from an unrestricted license to carry and you move to a town that historically has been hostile to giving unrestricted license to carries. I don't think anyone's going to be giving out restricted licenses at this point. I don't know of any town that is, but I've been monitoring it and I haven't heard of any that are. So you should be good to go now, thanks to the Bruin case.
All right. Thank you, Dave. More calls when we come back. Get on the line now. It's 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas, and we are thrilled to be back live in studio with all of you. We're also thrilled to be joined by Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Now, before we go back to your questions for Toby, we got a lot of people on the lines. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week. week and $149.99 a night on weekends through March. So book online at nossatbeachin.com. You still have time to let your voice be heard, to make your mark here with this poll question. If you want to vote, it's gracecurlyshow.com. Look to your right. There's the PQ. So, Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What decision do you think Joe Biden has reached on 2024?
I'm going to say he's going to run. And actually, Toby, I'd be curious, what do you think? You think he's going to run or you think he's going to pass the torch?
That's a great question. I think he'll run if he's in good, you know, if the status quo is maintained from now till then, as far as his mental acuity. If he really starts to slip off the plate any more than he already has, I think they're going to try to quietly make him go away.
Yeah, I think he's going to run. I think he's feeling good after the midterms. He's riding high. And I think he thinks he's untouchable. He's Teflon. So, yeah, I think he's going to give it a go.
72% of the audience believes, yes, he, in quotes, has decided he will run in 2024.
All right, let's go to the callers here. Jesse, you're next up with Toby. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, Toby. Just a question for you here. I'm a New Hampshire resident, but I travel to Mass pretty much daily because of work. Just looking to possibly get a out-of-state concealed carry permit. How do I start that process? And does the recent court case, does it affect out-of-staters too? Like, will it be easier to get it with that court ruling?
Yeah, I do believe it will help because they can't subjectively issue the licenses anymore. So it took the subjectivity away. However, they still say, as long as you're a suitable person, which is kind of funny, they're leaving the door open to that subjectivity. But so the quickest and best way to do it is to come on down to somewhere in the state that offers the license to carry class and take it. It has to be a state certified class. There may be instructors up in New Hampshire that, you know, teach it or and are recognized by the state. But basically, you want to take a state class and get that out of the way, and then you'll get your certificate. Then you can appear in person in Chelsea at the Department of Public Safety, and you've got to apply in person there. So the good news for you is it's now the same type of term as our resident licenses. So it's good for either 5 or 6 years, depending on where your birthday falls. But whereas before it had to be renewed in person every year, which was ridiculous. But I think you shouldn't have any issues getting it. And now it took a little bit of that subjectivity away. So good luck with that, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse, for the call. Let's go to Emerson. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Emerson.
Toby, how you doing? Hope you had a good Christmas. I got a question regarding the Curios and Relics licensing. I've been on the ATF page multiple times trying to figure out, you know, what form to fill out, who to bring it to, and I can't seem to get past the form. So I'm hoping you have some insight on that.
Boy, it's been a while since I filled mine out. I used to have the CNR license. The Curio and Relics license is a Type 3 FFL. So it's designed for personal collecting, and it enables you to get guns that are on this CNR list, and basically anything over 50 years old is a curio, considered a curio and relic. And but it enables you to have kind of like a sub dealer status where you can deal directly online and have these guns now shipped to your door instead of transferred at a local gun store. And if it also enables you to buy a CNR gun with just your FFL at a local gun store. So you don't need to go through the background check and all that because you've already done it on the federal level. So I believe you just got to notify the local officer, you know, police officer in your town, the chief law enforcement officer in your town, and get them to sign. You got to submit photographs and fingerprints. But it's been a while since I've done it. It might even be all done online now. I'm not sure. I did it probably 10 or 15 years ago, so I'm sure it's all changed. But basically, once you get through the process, I think it's $30. You mail it in, and it's actually advantageous to get it in Massachusetts, if you ask me. But The other big advantage to having that CNR license is it now qualifies you for a machine gun license in Massachusetts, because you have to prove to the issuing authority that you are a bona fide collector of firearms, and that's how you do it with that Type 3 FFL, the CNR license. But it is basically just for collecting purposes. It's not for profit or for, you know, commerce, if you will, or to buy and sell guns. It's only for collecting purposes only. So hopefully you'll be able to figure out that form. If you're in the area, swing in with it, and I'll be happy to guide you through it. But it's, you know, make sure you fill it out correctly, and then get all the sign-offs and fingerprints and photographs, et cetera, and pay the fee. And it usually comes pretty quick. So hopefully that helps, Emerson, and good luck with it.
All right, let's go to Mike. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Toby. Hey, so I got my gun license about probably 8 years ago, and it was a lot, you know, it was a lot easier, I guess, than it is now. And, you know, I work with a lot of guys who are trying to get them. They've been waiting 8, 10, you know, a long time to get their paperwork back, and just to hear from a chief in their town. I thought that there was a rule of 10 days or something like that. Is there a way that you can tactfully go about it towards a police station without them getting mad at you?
Yes, you're right. There, and the fact that you're telling me that the police don't follow the law, which is 40 days, they have 40 days to respond. Generally speaking, they don't respond within 40 days. So under the technical argument, on day 41, you've been given a denial, and you can start to get your paperwork together to mount an appeal if necessary. There's a phone number. I'll give it out. I gave it out last week. It's 617-660-4722, and you can call that number and ask and say, hey, you know, what's the deal? I applied for my license to carry 8 months ago, and I still haven't got it. And they should be able to tell you if it's at the local police department or if it's still caught up in the state somewhere. But basically, if you've gone, I'd say, 3 or 4 months and haven't heard a thing, I would reach out to the local PD, and then I would also call that number. And if you're getting nowhere, I would contact an attorney, and they could start to file an appeal, because you only have 90 days from your denial, if you will, to appeal it. So you might have to reapply if it's been 8 or 10 months. But I would contact a good Second Amendment attorney in this state, like Keith Langer or Jason Guida or Andrew Kucher, Attorney Smith as well. These are all guys that can help with, you know, the appeals process. But basically, you want to document everything, make copies of your applications, and make sure you get it date stamped when you submit it, and then just hold their feet to the fire. And that number again is 617-660-4722.
All right, thank you, Mike. Good question. Let's go to Nick. You're the last up on today's 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, Toby. Thank you for taking my call. I have a few registered guns in Massachusetts, but I purchased just a 22 target handgun a few months ago, and I completely forgot to register it. Is there a fine or a fee I got to pay? Or because I believe you only had like a couple weeks once you took
the gun. From a gun store? Did you buy it from a gun store?
I bought it from a gun store in New Hampshire. I live in Massachusetts. Oh. It had to be shipped down to Massachusetts.
Well, if it's been shipped, so it got shipped down to Massachusetts to a gun store?
It got shipped down to a person who's a dealer that I had take receipt of it from.
Okay.
And then they did the transfer to you. And I didn't register the gun. Yeah, I didn't register the gun. So I thought that
Hold on a second. You picked up the gun from a licensed gun dealer, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
All right. So you don't have to worry about it, because the licensed gun dealer registers it every time there's a transfer that takes place.
Phew. I never know with those questions, Toby, what you're going to say. Like, if you're going to tell this person, hey, you're going to jail, or if you're going to tell them, no big deal.
Look out the window. Are the feds there yet? So, Nick, you're fine. As long as, you know, that's why I asked the questions the way I did. So, in other words, you buy a gun in New Hampshire, they mail it down to a licensed gun dealer in Mass., and then you go pick it up. When you go through that process, they register the gun before you walk out the door. So it's anytime you pick up a gun from a licensed gun dealer in Massachusetts, you don't have to go out and register it again. It's already registered. So it's already your gun. You don't have to worry about it, Nick. You're in good shape. So hopefully that helps you sleep better at night.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Now, Toby, please let people know if they have more questions for you, they want to talk to you in person, where can they visit you? If they just want to check out Cape Gunworks, and if they want to listen to more of you on the radio, where can they go?
Yeah. Thank you, Grace. So they can always visit us down in Hyannis. Come to Cape Gunworks, 96 Airport Road in Hyannis, and would love to show you around, show you our beautiful pro shop, our state-of-the-art range, or sign you up for a class if you're looking to get your license to carry, or even take a non-lethal class or a less-than-lethal class. We offer pepper spray classes and everything else. So lots of options for you here. You can always go to CapeGunworks.com and register for an upcoming class there, or do some shopping online. You can buy a gift card and send somebody an email and let them know you're thinking of them. You can also listen to us on Rapid Fire. It's our radio show where we do lots of question and answer. You can get involved on a chat, a live chat, whenever we go live. We record the show on Wednesdays, and you can find it on local radio stations, or go to rapidfireradio.us and get signed up to be notified whenever a new episode comes out. We're basically going to a podcast only in the new year. So we'd love to have you join us on that. And it's a two-hour show. Do lots of question and answers and news of the day and gun-related news. So you can find us there. And go to CapeGunworks.com and get started. We'd love to have you come on down and visit us at Cape Gunworks. And we appreciate everything you do for us, Grace, and look forward to next week.
Thank you so much, Toby. We'll talk to you soon and have a happy new year. We'll talk to you right after. My friends at Eden Pure are extending their Gen 40 heater special for one more week while supplies last. So act now. Reduce your heating bills with the Gen 40 heater. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. You can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with $50 off by using code GRACE50. Now, the Gen 40 heater is great because we all know it's chilly out. It was frigid this weekend. And the last thing you want to do is heat up parts of your home that you're not using. You know, you might have that little side room. Some people have dining rooms they don't really use. A lot of us are spending most of our time in the kitchen and in the living room. And I know my living room gets really chilly. I don't have one of those open concepts where the heat from the kitchen pours in. So I need to keep myself warm. I just turn on the Gen 40 heater while I'm watching TV, and that heats up my whole area, and then I save money on the heating of my entire house. This is a great, safe way to save money. It looks stylish. It's not big and bulky. It has kind of a Mad Men retro feel to it. You're really going to love this product. And a lot of people ask me, Grace, is there any chance that Eden Pure will do a Gen 40 heater deal before the summer? Because typically you don't get a deal on a heater, you know, in the dead of winter when it's freezing out. But Eden Pure was feeling generous. They decided to run this deal, and then they decided they're going to extend it for us for one more week while supplies last. And that's the key, because last year they did sell out of these. So keep that in mind, that if you're going to get one, act early, order, go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACE50, because I want you to save that extra $50 off. So that's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE50. Shipping is free. It's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE50 to get the fabulous Gen 40 heater before we head into the new year. We will be right back. We're going to do the car crossover, but really today is the Cormier crossover. Don't go anywhere. Taylor Cormier when we come back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
You know, it was so nice to enjoy the holidays, but I am so happy to be back with all of you going over the stories of the day. And lucky for you, you have 4 more hours of live radio coming towards you, thanks to Taylor Cormier, who joins us now.
Well, I'm glad to be here as well. It was nice. The break was nice, but it's good to be back at work.
It is good to be back. Now, Taylor, we were just discussing George Santos, who was just newly elected into Congress. He's from New York, representing a part of, I think, Queens and Long Island. And he is in a little bit of trouble for embellishing his resume. That's putting it mildly.
Was that wrong? Should I not have done that?
My question, of course, was to Jared, who's kind of our Boy Scout over here. I said, have you ever embellished a resume? And he says, no. He's Honest Abe. He's never said anything, you know, that wouldn't pass the smell test. And so I'm going to pose this question to you, our George Costanza of The Office. Have you ever, I won't say lied, have you ever shaved off the factual edges on your resume?
I've never embellished, but I've left things vague enough where if you didn't feel like digging, you weren't going to find out the entire truth. For instance, I put the years that I attended college, but never put that I did or did not complete college.
So it's not so much lying, it's just omitting all of the facts.
Right, and that's all they're interested in. Did you attend university or college, whatever?
See, I would actually say, Taylor, that nowadays in some companies, it would actually be beneficial to tell people, listen, I didn't go to a brainwashing, woke, higher education, you know, university. I think that actually for some employers, not all, but some employers might look at that and say, good for you.
I was pretty much against college from the get-go. It was chalked up to, you know, having that college experience. But I, even when I was in college, I was like, this is a scam. I don't need this for what I want to do in life.
Hey, speaking of scams, did you see SBF was spotted at the JFK lounge at the airport?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was on his way home, and now his parents are shelling out big bucks for security. Was, they're very nervous.
Was his flights one of the thousands that got canceled? Or?
I don't know. I, you know, it depends. Was he flying Southwest?
So what was he doing in the lounge? When you're on, like, such sort of a program where you're, you know, on house arrest, aren't you? He was told to stay away from any substances, right? And he's relaxing in the lounge?
Oh, yeah. Well,
did he have a drink in front of him?
It didn't appear so. I just saw him with his laptop.
Oh, okay.
Taylor, what do you have planned for the show today?
We're going to go over a lot of the Twitter files as well and kind of juxtapose it with, did you see that sob story from the New York Times over the last few days about people, the mask holdouts?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Mask wearers. It's a very, very intriguing puff piece for people who still love their masks.
Oh, they can't let go.
They can't let go. They won't let go. And this writer, Amy Harmon, writes an ode to these mask wearers, these bitter clingers, and really gives them every excuse in the book for why they're really right for them. I don't shame people for wearing the mask.
No.
I'm going to give you a look. That's just inherent.
See, I don't even do that. I just smile at people because I find that smiling is just, it's just a wonderful way.
But
show
I feel
people
like
your smile.
They want you to say, they just want you to say something. It's like if you're wearing, if you got a new hairdo or a new sweater or something, you want somebody to say, oh, nice. I noticed that. Oh, great.
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Taylor, because when it comes to the two of you in this office, I notice if you get a haircut, and let's be honest, your haircuts aren't anything crazy. I could come in with red hair, and I don't think either of you would say.
I've said nice haircut before.
You absolutely have not.
I get two haircuts a year. Of course you notice.
I think I was a week late on one.
Embellishment. Liar. George Santos Jr. here. Taylor Cormier coming up next. Don't go anywhere.